was akin to the famous Blackwood singers, and he might be, I don't know. Man, I'd be getting some royalties off of that stuff. He was one of the greatest gospel songwriters in history. Him and his wife's going to come and sing. We appreciate it, David. I've known David for several years, and his mom and dad's always been a blessing to us. And we was playing around up here the other night after church, and they was singing. I said, man, y'all need to come and sing one. So you got to have money to sing here in this church. But let me see if we can get you. You need a. Amen. Somebody want $20? Anybody here want $20? Remember to go get a new microphone, of course. I don't never think of it till we get up here on Sunday night. This yellow one is bad. And I'll give you $20 if you go get one. They're $22.95. You get a blessing for that.
Thank the Lord for saving me, for his many blessings and everything that he's done for me. Thank him for my family, my little boy, and now I believe it's a little girl on the way.
And he's hoping. That's what it is.
But I want to thank him for saving me and all he's done. And we're going to try a song or two. I don't know how many he wants us to do. This is actually an old youth choir song from back at New Manor. And I believe it was Jason Benfield. Who did that?
Yeah, it was.
Well, she took her hair and dried the tears that fell upon his feet. My, how she loved her master. What love? thankful that I'm saved, and I'm thankful just for everything that He's done for me. But half of the time, we don't even realize everything that He has done. And we don't realize that, you know, every day, if we just get up and we're breathing, that's a blessing. And everything that He gives us is a blessing, you know, because, I mean, the Bible says that, you know, every good and perfect gift coming from above. And we're going to try this one. And I'm glad to know that when my life is done and I get to heaven, that I know I got somebody by my side, that it's not me that God sees, but it's His Son, Jesus.
Singing, say amen. That's a good song, boy. I tell you what, that's a good song. Amen. Well, I look back there and it looks like old Stephen awake. Is he awake enough to play another one for us? How many of y'all would like to hear Brother Stephen play another? I like that one he played this morning. Send him on up here. His little sister about out right now. He was out a while ago. Amen. All right, let's move it, boy. Let's go. Let's go. That's a classy young man right there, ain't it? That was good this morning, what he played. I don't know what he's got up his sleeve tonight. Here we go. I'll fly away. What about that? Ain't that good? Heck yeah. Look out, Miss Desi. I didn't know that my song had that many verses in it. Who taught him how to do that? Quoquo do that? Does Esther have a song? Does she want to sing? Gary? Now, Brother Gary and his family live down in York, Rock Hill, I guess somewhere in between there, somewhere or another. And they've been knowing them for years. She wants to send her on up here. She's a good singer. If she don't, that's fine too. Yeah, I reckon. Come on. Yeah, come on, brother. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's fine with me. Amen. They watch us on the internet. I guess you still do on Sunday. Oh, you got rid of it. He got rid of his internet. I preached this morning. He told me they got rid of theirs. Before that, I preached on that this morning. But I know it'd be a blessing to you. Amen. All right. Let's go right here. He's a good singer. Amen. Yes, sir. That'd be fine.
I want to thank the Lord for his salvation. There ain't nothing greater. And I'll tell you right now, he don't owe me one thing. And you know the truth about it? If I was able to roll in the back door, I'm still thankful that I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm thankful that he's still using us, and we're not much, and ain't a soul in here that's much, and we're nothing but just from the dust, you know, is what we are.
That's right.
And so we're going to try to sing this song. We like to sing in nursing homes, and the Lord's good to us. The Lord's good to the people in the nursing home, and if the Lord tarries, there'd be some people in here that'll also be in the nursing home, or a family member will take care of them, and God bless you when the time comes. So... We're going to try this. Jesus, passing on his way, came upon a man one day, blind from birth, darkness covering his sight. Jesus fed upon the ground, making clay as he stooped down, commanded him to go and wash, let in the light. A speck of dirt is all I am, nothing worthy of the Lamb. But in mercy and in grace, my precious Savior took my place. What am I that God could love? His virtue so much high above, human mind can't comprehend. Creator as creation's friend, blind by sin and nature's night, one day God led me to the light. Save my soul, now I can tell about his love, and I will never, ever know how he could ever love me so. A speck of dirt without my Lord is all I'd be. A speck of dirt is all I am, nothing worthy of the Lamb. But in mercy and in grace, my precious Savior took my place. What am I that God could love? His virtue so much higher above, human mind can't comprehend. Creator as creation's friend.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. I tell you, I appreciate that. Y'all pray for Brother Gary. He's had that trouble with his eyes, and he just about lost them completely. So y'all pray for him. Lord, just continue to help him. And he's able to touch him. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Romans chapter 8. And I want to bring you a short message tonight, and we'll go. Everybody listen. Amen. Romans chapter 8 tonight. Well, I was screaming my throat out last night, so I have to take it easy just for a minute. I had a big service last night. And for a while I was doing my preaching and my amen in both. So I was roughing it out. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8 tonight. I want to read some scripture that every one of us is going to have to learn as a Christian. And you'll have to learn it the hard way or the easy way. You're not going to get through this life without suffering. As he said, rest home, cancer, disease, doctor. I mean, it's coming for all of us. You ain't going to cheat it forever. I don't care how healthy you are. I don't care how strong you are. You're going to have suffering in this world. If it's not physical, it can be mental. Some of the worst suffering you can go through is mental suffering or emotional pain. You know, you heard people say, well, their husband didn't beat them, but they give emotional or verbal abuse. That's some of the worst abuse you can get, is somebody just beat you to death with their words and talk terrible to you and cuss you and talk to you like you're a dog. That's what Mommy say, talk to him like he's a dog. And lady told me last night at church, she said, I've been treated like dirt. She said, my first husband, she said, he was threatened to kill me, tried to kill me. She said, I've been through some bad times. Nobody gets through this life without suffering. Look here at what the Bible said in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 17. And if children, then heirs. That means you get to inherit. If you're somebody's heir, you inherit what they got. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. just for a few minutes, I want to talk about why Christians suffer. Why Christians suffer. It is a known fact that God's people suffer. These people on TV that give you the impression that if you're saved and right with God, that you'll never be sick and nothing bad will ever happen to you and you'll have plenty of money and always things going to work out. They got their Bible all mixed up. They're preaching millennium truths in the church age, and you can't do that. We are not in the millennium. We are not reigning with Christ. In this generation, we are suffering with Christ. We're called to suffer. We will reign with Him one day, but that is not until the millennium. People say, "Well, buddy, I'll tell you what. The Lord's going to let us, we're going to reign on this earth." Not in this generation, you're not. Not in our dispensation. This is the church age. You got your Bible messed up. I want to talk about tonight why. Why people have to suffer. Why do some of the best Christians you've ever met in your life have so much trouble? Why do, when you're trying to live right, it seems like the bottom falls out? Why does it seem like, you say, "Well, Brother Danny, I was doing everything I know to do right, and everything blew up and went crazy." Why do Christians suffer? Well, I'm going to give you several things tonight, and I'm just going to name them off. Number one, sometimes we suffer because of our own sin in our life. Now, we might as well just be honest about it tonight. Sometimes we bring our problems on ourselves. Amen? We don't like to admit it, but that's the truth. Sometimes it's our fault. We bring our own problems on us. We ain't got nobody to blame but ourselves. I mean, David said in Psalm 119, verse 67, he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept thy word." You know what that means? He said, "Lord, I was living like the devil, and you beat the devil out of me, and I'm doing right." Sometimes our problems come as a direct result of our own disobedience. Not always, but sometimes. Be careful about judging somebody. When something happens to somebody, a lot of times somebody points their fingers, "See there? They're not doing right, so God's getting..." You got to be careful about that kind of stuff. Only God knows about that. I'm not that in a position to judge that, and you're not either. Something happens to somebody you like, and you say the devil's fighting them. Something happens to somebody you don't like, and you say God's whipping them. Really, you don't know. But I do know this. Sometimes, I mean, you go out here and get drunk, you go out here and get yourself in a fight in a bar somewhere, get your jaw broke, your suffering is because of your own foolishness. And you bring it upon yourself. You go out here and get on drugs. I know people right now, there are people right now who used to sit on these pews that you're sitting on tonight that are out there somewhere tonight and ain't got a dime to their name unless they steal it for another pill to take. And they're in a miserable condition. And they're in that condition because of their own choices. Sometimes we suffer because of our own crazy, ridiculous, dumb, sinful choices. We bring it on ourselves. Amen? That's the truth. I mean, brother, sometimes people just have a hard time getting through to our head. You know, sometimes it gets through your head. "Okay, Lord, I get it. I get it. I'm going to straighten up." And it'll stop some of your suffering. Number two, I want to say we suffer sometimes because fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ demands suffering. Paul said one time, "We suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him." You know, we suffer with the Lord now, we'll reign with the Lord in another day. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 said, "Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His step." If you're going to walk with Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer. Yeah, listen, some way or another. Now, I'm going to tell you people something tonight. I'm not trying to be ugly or anything like that. There's some preachers on TV that I listen to, and some of them are decent preachers. They really are. But I'm going to tell you, the average TV preacher does not give you a correct Bible view of the Christian life. We are called to suffer. We are not called to run around like kings in this world and run the world, you know, with the nicest car. Nothing wrong. If you got a nice car, praise God. If you got nice clothes, praise God. Nothing wrong with it. But that does not mean you're spiritual.
I mean, we're called, to suffer. We are called to suffer. If we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. Old John Bunyan, they put him in prison. They put some of them old guys in prison, and they'll say, "We'll let you out if you'll quit preaching." And them guys would look at them guys in that, on that jail, and they'd say, "If you let me out today, I'll preach again tomorrow." They suffered for Jesus Christ. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, one of the third greatest books in the world. The greatest book in the world is the Bible. The second would be Pilgrim's Progress or Fox's Book of Martyrs. Neither of which are Fox's Book of Martyrs is not allowed to be taught in our school system because it throws the Catholic Church in a bad light. But if you really want to study what real history is, you want to know about the Renaissance, you want to know about the Dark Ages, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. They took people like me and you who are Christians. They took people like David and his wife stood there a while ago, and Nero lit up his garden at night with Christians burning. They put them at a stake like this. I mean, brother, they lit the fire down here. They tied them with chains to them stake, and they burned them to death by the tens of thousands because they would not bow to the Pope. And, brother, they told this one girl, 17 years old, they said, "You've got to take the Mass." And she said, "I'm afraid I'll meet the devil at the Mass." And they burned that girl, 17 years old. And they burned tens of thousands of Christians. They suffered. We here in America know very little about that kind of stuff. I mean, it's raining, we don't come to church. I mean, we got a little bitty headache, we stay home. I mean, brother, in the old days, Christians suffered for the Lord. They suffered for the Lord. Somebody talks about us, we're ready to quit. But they suffered for the Lord. We suffer because fellowship with Christ demands it. But then let me say, thirdly tonight, we suffer with for the Lord in order to bring us to humility and self-judgment. Job said in Job 42 and verse 8, he said, "I abhor myself in sackcloth and ashes." Job had pride and self-righteousness. And nothing will knock the pride and self-righteousness out of you like pain. Suffering is good for you. I don't like to suffer. Man, I'm not into the pain. I don't like it, buddy. I don't enjoy it. I've never had a whole lot of pain, physical pain. Thank God, I know my day's coming. I'm not stupid. You can't cheat it forever. I've cheated it for a long time. God's been good to me. You've heard my testimony before. I'm scared to tell it to you, but I'm going to. I'm scared because something might happen to me tomorrow. But I'm not superstitious, but I'm just saying God's been good to me. I've been preaching since I was 19 years old. I have preached tens of thousands of times. I've been traveling preaching revivals since I was 19 years old. And I am now 20 over 20. And brother, I'm telling you tonight, listen, I've been preaching a long time. I've been preaching since before a lot of y'all was born. And I'm going to tell you something. God's been so good to me, I have never had to miss a place to preach one time. Not once. Not once. I don't know another preacher in the country that's been preaching 35 years and never miss a place to preach. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. You say, "You mean tell me you ain't been sick in 38, 7 years?" I didn't say I've been sick. I said I've never missed. Not one time. Sometimes a plane didn't come. Sometimes a plane didn't show up in time. I've had to run into church. One time a guy picked me up and had on blue jeans. I just run right into church and jumped up in a pair of blue jeans and opened my Bible and started preaching. I've had to do that. Sometimes they called it off because of snow. But I have never, to my knowledge, had to call and say, "I can't make it. I'm sick." I remember one time, the closest I've come, I had the flu one time, and it was a long time ago. I was preaching revival up in the mountains, up in Black Mountain, and I had these boys going with me. And you know how when you get the flu, you freeze, you get chills? And I'm telling you, I couldn't get warm, man. I turned the heat on, and I was just shaking like that. And my throat was killing me. And they said, "We're going to church." Mom fussed, she fussed. I didn't even tell her how bad I felt. I felt terrible. And you know what? I drove that car. I turned the heat on high. And then boy said, "Brother, I'm a dying. You're burning me up." I was freezing to death. And you know what? I done that two or three times.
And when I got up and started preaching, about halfway through the preaching, I started feeling great. And I said, glory to God, the Lord's healed me. Woo! Hallelujah. And as soon as I got done, it hit me again. I couldn't hardly stand up. I'd go home, lay down, go to bed. But I'm not complaining or bragging. I'm just telling you, God's been good to me physically. I thank Him for it. You know where that comes from? That's a gift from God. Hallelujah. But I'm not stupid either. I know my day's coming. My day's coming. My day's coming. If the Lord don't come, this old body's going to start breaking up. I mean, I'm going to start getting something going to happen. You can't cheat it forever. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. And you just as well get ready for it. It's part of life. Nobody gets by with it. The most healthy person in the world, it don't matter how much weight you lift. It matters not how many vitamins you take. Your day of suffering is coming. And I'm telling you tonight, when that day comes, it'll knock that self-righteousness and pride right out of you. Amen. I'm going to tell you another reason we suffer tonight. I didn't say I hadn't ever suffered. I said I hadn't ever misplaced preach. I have done some suffering. I've had a lot of mental anguish. I've had a lot of heartache. A lot, brother, a lot. I'm telling you, brother, I've had my share of pain. I've had my share of misery. I've had my share of hurt. I could go into some stuff and tell you tonight about what's happened in my family, about back during them days, when my sister all died with cancer. My dad died 6 months later. 6 months, that's a short period of time. My mom would come over and take care of my girls during the day, or she'd come over and clean house for me. I'd go somewhere and preach that night. So we'd have a different babysitter every night. We made that work for ever so many years, and we went through all the time. But it was some rough days. I mean, it was some rough days. I remember one of them girls when they was little. I remember one time Corey, you've heard me tell about it. Corey was sick with the flu before, and I remember when they was little, and I'd call somebody and say, what in the world did I do? You know what I'd done? I'd put them in the bed, put my hand on them, her head would be so hot you couldn't touch it. And I'd look at them and I'd say, God, you're going to have to touch them. God, you're going to have to touch them. And I'd give them this and give them that and try to get them calmed down. And I've told you before, one time when Corey was really, 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 really little, she couldn't breathe. And when little kids, they get stopped up, they cannot breathe. And you're afraid they'll choke to death. And Mom said, Danny, you're going to have to get some nose drops in her. And I said, you tell me how to get a three-year-old to suck nose drops up her nose. I mean, you're supposed to go squeeze it like that and go... And she wouldn't do it. I said, here, honey. No. I said, here, honey. No. Like that. And I said, she can't sleep because she can't breathe. Don't tell nobody I did this. I don't know how I done it. I grabbed her by the feet like this right here, and I held her feet, both feet right there, and she was upside down, and I squirted them nose drops up her nose like that. Done the trick. Sure did. It fixed her right up. Mother, she slept like a baby. Where's she at? She's back there somewhere. But anyway, I sure did. I don't tell nobody. They'd tell social services on me. I held her up, but I got them in her. You tell me how to get a three-year-old to suck nose drops up her nose. Genius, tell me, I'm open to it. But anyway, we had some hard days, I'm telling you. We had some hard days. Don't tell Carrie I said this. I throwed her down on the couch one time. She would not shut up. Wah, 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 wah. Hush, honey, wah, hush, honey, wah. I just went, throwed her on the couch. Walked out of the room. She quit. After a while, I don't know, but at least, I don't know. I've seen a few days. I've seen some hard times. I've seen some rough days, ain't you? There she is right there. See, she's alive and ain't got no nose drops up her nose. But you know what? Listen, I've seen a few hard times. I've seen some rough days. We all have. And we're going to see some more. We're going to see some more. You just as well get it through your thick skull that you're not going to live in this world and get through without trouble coming to your house. Amen? You say, well, don't talk like that, just doom and gloom. No, I tell you what that is. It's right in reality.
I mean, we ought to shout and praise God and have a good time, but trouble's coming your way. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. I'm telling you, brother, it's in order. Number three tonight, you know why we have four tonight? We have trouble and suffering in our life to prove God's grace is sufficient. To prove God's grace is sufficient. I said God lets trouble come in our life to prove His grace is sufficient. You know what I'm saying? When people see what we go through and we hang in there, that tells them that our God's real. I used to pick up all the drunks in Marion, and I knew all the drunks in Marion. I know a lot of them down here. I still pick up drunks. I still pick them up and talk to them. And I used to pick up all the drunks in Marion. Matter of fact, my girls knew half the drunks in Marion. I'd pick them up, we'd talk to them, and we'd take them wherever they was going, try to witness to them and everything. One time I picked up this old drunk, and I was talking to him, and we was going down the road, and he looked over at me, and he said, "Danny, you've had a lot of trouble up preach." I said, "I sure have." And he said, "I tell you what," he said, "if I ever decide to go to church, I'm coming to your church." And I consider that one of the greatest compliments. Let me tell you a compliment a man paid me one time. Don't get mad at me. I'm just going to tell you what he said. You promise you won't tell nobody? Okay. You promise you won't tell nobody? Man told me one time, he'd come and heard me preach every night. Every night he'd come hear me preach. He come to hear me preaching, and he just sat back there like this. And they said, "It's amazing." They said, "That man won't listen to nobody. You're the first preacher he had ever listened to." He said, "He sat back there every night in revival and watched you preach." He said, "It's amazing. I cannot believe that he said." They said, "We can't believe it. That old codger, he's mean as a devil. He's up there up on the other side of Asheville, way up in the mountain toward Weaverville. And he'd come every night of revival, and he'd sit there. He'd sit there, and he'd sit there, and he's up there somewhere like that. And you know what? He'd come down, and some of them preachers, they brag on you, but they don't mean it. And other people brag on you, but they're wanting something. Son, that old man come up to me after that thing was over, and he looked at me, and he stuck out his hand, and he said, "I'll tell you one thing. You won a hell of a preacher." That's what he said. Don't tell anybody I said that. That was one of the best compliments anybody ever gave me. Amen. I said, "Thank you, man. I appreciate that." He didn't mean that to be cussing. That was a compliment. And I said, "Lord of God, I'd rather have that than a doctor's divinity award hanging on my office." And I mean that. That old boy said, "Man, I'm preaching." I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we suffer because when the world sees us suffering and goes through what we do, you know, when they see us staying there, when they see a man going through hell on earth and he stays in there and stays in there and stays in there, you know what they think? They think whatever he's got must be real, because he wouldn't stay in there if it was. I'm telling you, glory to God, it is real. It is real. There is a God. Jesus is real. Heaven is real. Heaven's still sweet. The Bible's still true. We suffer to show this world that it's real. Amen. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." You know what? If we never had no suffering, we wouldn't have compassion on other people. If nothing bad ever happened to us, nobody ever died, nobody ever got sick. Listen, you don't know how to sympathize with somebody that can't pay their bills unless you've been there.
That's right, amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, brother, God lets us go through trouble so we can help other people. He lets us suffer. Listen, I can sit down beside somebody in a funeral home, put my arm around them and say, "I know what it's like to lose your daddy. My daddy dropped dead with a heart attack." I said, "I know what it's like. I've been there." And it helps. If you ain't never been through nothing, you can't help. You know, little hot shot preachers ain't never had no trouble, and their mom and daddy's rich, and they've had everything they wanted. I don't know what they're doing. They couldn't preach their way out of a paper bag. Because some of them old men in the Old Testament, some of them men in the New Testament, some of them men in church history, they went through it, brother. They went through it. I mean, they got beat. They got thrown in jail. They got beat up. I mean, they got stoned. The Apostle Paul did. God lets us go through suffering to prove His grace is sufficient. Thank God, brother. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Job said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him." We're living in the, I don't know, the sissiest, weakest generation. I heard the other day on TV, somewhere up in a city up north, they had hundreds of 911 calls. A storm come through and hit, and the cable went out. Cable TV went out and had hundreds of 911 people calling 911. My cable's out! And they had to tell them, they said, look, people, 911 is an emergency number that you call in a life-threatening situation. People consider that an emergency. I heard the other day on TV that somewhere out west, they let kids out of school because the air conditioning was tore up in the school. How many of y'all went to school? We didn't have no air conditioning when I went to school. None. Am I the only one that went to school? No, surely the Lord. Raise your hand if you went. All right, okay, that's better. Thank you. You don't have to be embarrassed. It wasn't that long ago. I'm telling you, listen, we didn't have no air conditioning. None. They opened the windows. We went outside and played for recess, come in the sweat just pouring off of us, and just sat there. It ain't going to kill you to sweat. They let the kids go home because the air conditioning is tore up. That's the day we're living in. That's why we can't. You say, but it's hot. Amen. I'll tell you something. I tell you, the first air conditioner I ever remember feeling was in the grocery store in Marion. We didn't have it at home. Amen, brother. You pray for me. You're deacon number 4, I promise. I got one supporter in this church that believes in me. The rest of you hypocrites. I don't know if he pays his tithes or not, but at least he's here, supports me. Well, anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, about the air conditioning. I went in the store. We didn't have air conditioning at home. We didn't have air conditioning at home. I mean, brother, when I get through preaching, when I first started preaching, I sweat through my shirt, through my jacket, and have my whole jacket back here. I still do that, youth rally and stuff. But you know what? We can't take nothing. Now. You know these churches right here in Burke County, if the air conditioners tore up, they'd call service off. I remember going in a grocery store when I was a kid, and I didn't wear nothing but a pair of blue jean shorts. That's it. No shoes, no shirt. We never wore a shirt. We didn't wear a shirt off. Mom didn't have to wash shirts. We didn't wear one. I didn't wear one all summer. Never wore a shirt. All my kin folks in West Virginia, all of them, none of them wear shirts. I'm not saying that's right, but that's what they do. And I didn't wear no shirt, no shoes. And I went in the grocery store and I said, good night, it's freezing in here. They left the freezers open or something. And it was air conditioned. It didn't even feel good. You put a fan on you, and you laid in front of the fan. Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt us to sweat a little bit more than what most of us do. That's the way you get poisoned out of your body, by sweating. You need to get soapy. Are you listening, ladies, men? Everybody in here needs to get nasty, soapy, soggy, sweaty at least 2 or 3 times a week doing something. If it ain't nothing, you say, well, Brother Danny, I can't move. Get in a sauna, man. Get in the bathroom, turn the heater on. Just let the sweat run down you. It's good for you. If you don't, you got poison. That's how poison gets out of you. I don't know how I got off on all that, but anyway, those are the 911 calls. Somebody told me the other day, this guy got a job at a place, you don't know who it is, worked 2 or 3 weeks, and said he hurt his back, and quit the job, and the lady that run the place told me, I said, well, Rick, could you hire him back? He's really wanting a job back. And she said, listen, Danny, she said, women do that job. She said, that ain't a hard job. He said it's about to kill him. And she said, we got women in this plant that do that job. I won't tell you what's wrong with our generation. We don't suffer. We don't give up nothing. It kills us to do a day's work anymore. Buddy, I'm telling you, we're living, and that's what's wrong with people now. That's what's wrong. You know, the Bible said a man ought to work by the sweat of his what? Face. Don't say brow. Sweat of his face. Check it out. I'm going to say this and I'll be done. I left out about half of this. The Lord lets us suffer to develop patience. To develop patience. Amen? To develop patience. You know why young people ain't got no patience? They ain't never been through no trouble. You know why they want something right then, can't wait for nothing? They ain't never had no problems. But if you go through some trouble, it'll give you a little patience. I like Johnny Erickson, Tata, whatever her name is. I don't know if she still comes on the radio or not. Does she still come on radio? She used to come on there, have a little show, little program on. When she was young, she was diving in a pool or something, and something broke her neck or something like that, paralyzed her from here down. And that girl learned how to put a paintbrush in her teeth and done beautiful paintings. And she's a speaker at ladies' conferences and goes around and gives her testimony. And she's known all over the world. And let me tell you something, man. That girl, she can, as far as I know, she can't even move from here down. And paints pictures with a paintbrush in her teeth. You know why God let that happen? How come the Lord don't just heal her? How come, I don't mean this bad, but how come Benny Hinn or some of them people don't go heal her? You know why? Because God allows suffering sometimes to show us that He gets the glory and that the trying of our faith, and sometimes that's the way God does it. Paul told Timothy, you know, he sent him a prayer rag there one time, then he told him to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake. Then he told him, I left Trophimus at Miletum sick. Because God got the glory out of it that way. Well, I'll say one more thing and I'm through. You know why God lets us suffer? Because it's going to make the victory that much sweeter when it finally does come. I mean, brother, one of these days it ain't going to be like this. In the sweet by and by. And I tell you, the older I get, the more I realize them songs, the words of them songs mean something to me. I was at the revival night before last. Preacher got up and he was leading the singing, and I was standing over here on the front row, and we were singing like a song like, in the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Some of you young people sit here tonight, that don't mean one thing to you. It just goes in one ear and out the other. But I was sitting there thinking, you know what? That's really going to happen. In the sweet, we are going to meet on that beautiful shore. I'm going to see Mom. I'm going to see my mom again. And the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirit shall sorrow no more. In that land, you know, where we'll finally have rest. In the sweet by and by. There's like this little boy one time, a man come by on the outfield, and this little boy's playing in center field. He was standing there like this with his glove like that. And the guy looked up and scored, and it's 14-0. 14-0, but little league baseball. And the guy hollered at him and said, boy, you ain't doing too good, are you? He said, yes, sir. I'm ready. He said, man, you're getting killed. It's 14-0. That little boy turned around and said, we ain't got the bat yet. You know what? The devil's beating us to death, y'all. He's beating us to death. But we ain't got the bat yet. One of these days, the shoe am going to be on the other foot. And brother, we'll win the victory when that day comes. You know why? You know why you're having to go through the suffering you're going through? Because God wants to make you a better person.
That's right,
I told somebody this week, if you suffer, it'll make you a bitter person or it'll make you a better person. That's what Ed McAbee told me a long time ago. He called me. He's preaching at Sammy Allen's camp meeting down in Resaca, Georgia. And Ed McAbee called me on the phone. I was 25 years old. And Ed called me and he said, Danny, he said, suffering will make you bitter or it'll make you better. I ain't never forgot that. You can turn yourself into a bitter person. I know a lot of them. I know people just got bitter. Or you can make it, you can be a better person.
Right, amen.
That's what suffering does. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer.